Welcome to Hardwood Handicappers with Zach Cohen, right here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Welcome back. This is Zachary Cohen, VSiN.com senior editor, with another episode of Hardwood Handicappers. Hardwood Handicappers is sponsored by Better Picks, the fantasy app that turns your basketball takes into cash. Download the Better app and use code VSINPOD to get $10 free. No deposit needed. That's VSINPOD, V-S-I-N-P-O-D. We have a link for that in the description. I want to start off by talking about last night. It was a really good night for us with the podcast. We ended up hitting that Celtics play against the Knicks. We got the Derek Queen assist ladder. That was an absolutely huge win and really made the whole night worth it. But I will say, like, we've been rolling a little bit over the last week or so. I'm hoping to keep it up. But yeah, big takeaways from last night. It has to start with the Thunder. OKC goes into Golden State. They beat a Steph Curry-less Warriors team. Nothing too impressive, but what is impressive is 13 straight wins, a 21-1 record on the season. This team is not looking like it's going to slow down anytime soon, and it is a team that has been banged up all year long. So the fact that they are this dominant is just downright scary for the rest of the league. I mean, I still have some question marks about what this team will look like in the playoffs, just because I don't think that last year's run came without hiccups. I'm also not sure we're talking about them as the, you know, defending NBA champions without a Tyrese Haliburton, a torn Achilles tendon, and in Game 7. I thought that Indiana had a really good shot of winning that game, and Haliburton was on fire. But this team does look, you know, head and shoulders above the rest of the league right now. They're going to get a little bit better luck in the health department moving forward, and they're looking at a special regular season where, you know, 70 almost looks like the floor in terms of wins. So I think OKC's, you know, awesome and only going to get stronger. So definitely a team that needed some shine. Other things that I want to point out from last night, I mentioned it, the Celtics beat the Knicks 123-117. I just can't, you know, I have to go back to what I said yesterday, and I've said it a few times on the pod over the last week or so. I also wrote an article on this over at VSiN.com, kind of breaking down the state of the Eastern Conference and maybe, you know, some of the teams in the middle of the pack that are worth sprinkles to make the NBA Finals this season. Boston might be at the top of that list right now because the Celtics are legitimately good at the moment. They're a top five team in terms of offensive rating. They've been good enough defensively to win games with that, you know, right around the 15 mark in defensive rating. And obviously this is a team that's playing without Jason Tatum right now. What we have seen so far has been a major leap from Jaylen Brown in terms of his creation, not only for himself, but for others. Like, his mid-range game has been insane, the way that he's been able to score at the basket, and then also what he's been doing to set teammates up. I mean, this is not the greatest supporting cast in the world, and Brown has been performing at an all-NBA level, and he's been getting it done on both ends of the floor. And now you're starting to talk about a team that maybe will end up, you know, being in a position where it makes sense for Jason Tatum to come back in February or March. I mean, you hear all the reports behind the scenes about, you know, Tatum is attacking that rehab relentlessly. You see videos of him, you know, dunking on social media already. He's working out, doing some intense, you know, one-on-one stuff. And I just kind of wonder if this team is above 500, you know, later in the season, in February, in March, if there's a real chance that they do end up bringing him back. And he's not going to come back and play 30 plus minutes a night. They would be very careful with him on the second legs of back-to-backs. But if you can get him to playing 30 minutes a game in the playoffs, and, you know, none of those games are back-to-back, so he'd be able to play every single game, you're suddenly talking about a Boston team that's as dangerous as any in the Eastern Conference. So I really do think that the Celtics are looking like maybe the most intriguing team to kind of sprinkle on when you're looking at the big picture in the Eastern Conference. So Celtics are a team that I'm very impressed with. I think that they're a team that you kind of need to put on your radar now, especially after a win over the Knicks, who I believe are the best team in the Eastern Conference at the moment. Another thing to talk about, very, very strange situation. Chris Paul sent an Instagram story out last night that he was sent home by the Clippers. It seems like that was done at around 3 a.m. Eastern. Paul was not waived. It looks like they're going to try to trade him while they can, but very, very strange to send home a franchise icon like that. Maybe the best player in franchise history and a player that you brought in kind of for the sole purpose of retiring him there and, you know, hanging that number in the rafters one day. It's just very strange to see his retirement tour, you know, cut short like that. It's hard to speculate what might have happened. I mean, my, you know, guess, knowing Paul, knowing what he's like around his teammates, is that, you know, he was probably very vocal about the way that things are going. This is a team that's been absolutely miserable to start this season, and I don't think that Paul would hold any punches, even going at guys like James Harden and Kawhi Leonard. And I do believe that Paul and Harden have had, you know, words for each other in the past, so maybe that was it. Otherwise, I don't know what it is. You know, there's been speculation that like it was just a cost-cutting move. But either way, it's a Clippers team that has now kind of pushed away Blake Griffin and Chris Paul, two of the, you know, the beloved players in that franchise's history, two players that, you know, all of the fans absolutely love there. So definitely, definitely strange to see him sent home, and looking forward to seeing what team he latches on with, if he latches on with one at all. I mean, Paul hasn't looked great to start the season, but I do think that he has so much to offer as just a mind for the game. And I hope that one of these teams that he's played with in the past scoops him up. Maybe OKC brings him along for the ride. It'd be a little bit harder for them because they'd have to find a roster space for him, and every player on that roster is deserving of a roster spot. But it would be nice to see him kind of latch on there, and a team that he did help come up. And, you know, he's had such a good relationship with SGA in the past, and he deserves a ring. So, you know, maybe, you know, getting one on with the OKC train would get him that ring before he retires. Also, I would love to see him on my Suns. I don't know how they can make it work either, because it's another team that is using all of its roster spots and using them on kind of important pieces. But Paul is also a legend in the Valley, brought that team to the finals. He really changed the culture here, and I wouldn't mind seeing him end his career here. But let's move on to tonight's games. I have a bunch of plays for this evening. I have five best bets already. I'm going to have more a little bit later because there's a few numbers that I'm waiting on. But we'll start with the Nuggets at the Pacers. Nuggets laying 7.5. Totals 236.5. This is a game where I was kind of leaning Pacers, but I'm backing off because I've been kind of battered backing Indiana over the last couple of weeks. I mean, this is a team that I've had a lot of trouble quitting because I do think that the roster is a little bit better than the record suggests. I still kind of like the way that this team plays. I think that I love, you know, the Rick Carlisle offense. I love the way this team competes, but I'm a little bit nervous given what I've seen out of them lately. And I did really think that they'd give the Cavs a run for their money the other night, and they got absolutely blown out. But what I am interested in this game, and it's a play that I'm going to be looking to taking, so once I see it, I'm probably going to jump on it. You'll want to head over to VSiN.com to see if I add this to my player prop story at any point, or if I add it to the VSiN Pro Picks page. But Spencer Jones over 9.5 points is something that I saw offshore, and I have not seen it available anywhere, you know, in the States. So kind of keeping an eye on it. I want to see it at 9.5. I'd take it at anything 10.5 or over. But Jones is a player that's averaging 22 points per game over the last two contests. He has been benefiting from no Christian Brown in the lineup. And there's also a chance that Jamal Murray's out in this game. He sprained his ankle last game, ended up coming back in, but that's the type of thing that's usually worse the next day or the night, you know, that night. It's something that can get a little bit worse. It's a little bit easier to play with in the moment. So I wouldn't be surprised if there's no Brown, no Murray. And Jones is a player that is a dead eye corner 3-point shooter. The Pacers are not very good defending the corner three. And I just think that there's going to be opportunities for guys on this Denver lineup to kind of contribute offensively. And I think that Jones is a real threat to score 10 plus. So I'm looking for that. Hopefully we end up getting 9.5. If it's 10.5, no big deal. I think that he's going to score 12, 13 points in this game, maybe a little bit more. But yeah, that's just the one that I am monitoring. I don't have anything else there. Next game is Spurs Magic, 7 p.m. Eastern tip. The Magic 7.5 point favorites in this game. Totals 235.5. This is another game where San Antonio is going to be without Victor Wembanyama and Stephon Castle. This team is not very healthy at the moment. It's also a team that is playing the second leg of a back-to-back, and it wasn't just, you know, your standard game last night. Like, it was an up-tempo game, which was not what I expected. I had the under in that one. It was my only loss of the night, but up-tempo game, close game. You saw all of the big players playing big minutes, and I do think that the Spurs are going to come into this game with somewhat tired legs, and I don't think they can afford to have that at all, because this Magic team has been rolling lately. It's another team that I kind of gushed about in the State of the East column that I put up VSiN.com. I've been, you know, praising this team over the last 2 weeks. Like, they have been so much better defensively. They're kind of right back in the top five in adjusted defensive rating, and the offense has been so much better. I mean, the threes are not going down at the clip you'd want to see them, but they are creating much better looks this season than they did last season, and the acquisition of Desmond Bane has been paying off for them. So I really like the Magic in this game. I'm not going to lay the points, but I view Orlando as like a perfect money line parlay anchor tonight. I think that this is a team that really should win this game outright. I mentioned this trend last game, only got better with their last win, but the Magic are 24-6 straight up under Jamal Mosley as home favorites of 6.5 to 12 points. They don't really lose games they're expected to win, and I think this is a game that they're going to handle their business. So I'm looking for ways to parlay the Magic tonight, and the team that I'm actually going to be parlaying with is actually in the next game. Clippers at Hawks. This is a game where the Hawks are 3.5 point favorites. Totals 226.5. I'm going to take the Magic money line with the Clippers on an with the Hawks on an alternate spread of +7.5. Do not take the Clippers. Magic money line, Hawks +7.5. This is a parlay that is -161, which I know that seems a little bit juicy, but I like to look at things with, you know, implied probability, and that's an implied probability of 61.69%. I think this should be more like 65-70. I think that, like, even in the worst case scenario with Los Angeles, if like Chris Paul was the most toxic human being in the world and that locker room was a nightmare because of him, which we have not heard anything about yet, so that's complete speculation. I'm saying worst case scenario, if like they felt the need to get him out of that locker room as soon as possible, maybe the Clippers come out and play a little bit better with his absence tonight. But I don't see the Clippers winning this game by 8+. I mean, the Hawks are 13th in the NBA in adjusted offensive rating, 8th in adjusted defensive rating. Compare that to Los Angeles, this is 12th in offensive rating, 24th in defensive rating. It's just very difficult to see the Hawks getting blown out on their home floor. This Clippers team has lost 5 straight games, has lost 14 of the last 16. Most nights they are not even a competitive team right now. I just think that this Hawks defense is going to be able to keep the Clippers offense somewhat in check. And I think that this is an awesome matchup for the Atlanta offense, because this Hawks team, if there's any weakness without Trae Young right now, it's kind of on-ball shot creation. But the Clippers have a lot of weak defenders right now, you know, especially with some of the injuries they're dealing with. I think the Atlanta is going to be able to just generate good looks and keep this game close. I think the Hawks are going to win this game. I just wanted to play it a little bit safer. I took 7.5. I really think this parlay has a great shot of hitting. For those of you who haven't joined VSiN Pro yet, we've extended our Black Friday special for one final week. For just $60, you'll get VSiN Pro access through May 1st. That includes daily best bets from our hosts and guests, real-time betting splits from DraftKings, Circa, and Bracco, the AI prop tools everyone's been talking about from OptaAI. You'll also get, you know, wide receiver, cornerback matchup tools for the NFL, something that I absolutely love using in my handicapping. 24/7 video access to the VSiN Watch app, plus coverage of every major sport from now through March Madness, the NFL Draft, and the Masters. And with our college football playoffs betting guide dropping next week, the timing couldn't be better. The Black Friday special ends after Sunday, so don't miss out. Go to vsin.com/subscribe to sign up now. That's vsin.com/subscribe. I've been saying this all week. Like, this is the best offer we're going to have all year. This is not just lip service. Like, this is a really, really strong offer. $60 for everything we're doing through May 1st. You're getting all of my picks. I have mentioned before, you're not getting all my picks on the podcast. You're going to get a few extra if you are a VSiN Pro subscriber, whether that's through the VSiN Pro picks page or my two articles that I do daily. So I think that if you like my work, you're enjoying the podcast, you know, joining for $60 is worth it, especially considering you're getting so much more than just what I have to offer. You're going to still getting all of my colleagues. They're all so talented. They all do great work, not just on the NBA, but for every sport. And then, yeah, I'm starting up tennis handicapping at the end of the month, which it feels like it's sneaking up on me. It's a short off season, but I look forward to handicapping tennis every year. I like to think I'm very good at it. I have some really strong results. So if you like tennis, it's another reason to join with the Black Friday special. Let's move on now to Hornets at Knicks, 7:30 p.m. Eastern. This is a game where the Knicks are laying 8.5, totals 235.5. This is a really interesting game because the Knicks beat the Hornets by 28 on November 26th. But I do think that the Hornets are the play in this game, and I am taking them at +9. That's -108 odds. I just think that this Charlotte team is coming off a really bad loss to Brooklyn, and it's not a loss that sat well with the team. I mean, some of the players were very vocal about how disappointing that performance was, with one of them being Konka Knipple, who sounded way beyond his years talking about that game. He's such a mature player, such a good player. But yeah, I think this is a team that bounces back in a big way and also bounces back from the blowout loss that we saw against the Knicks. Like, you should expect a better effort from Charlotte with this being their second game against this team in such a short period of time. Charles Lee is a very good coach. I expect he'll have his team a little bit more ready to go. And this Hornets team is 4-2 against the spread under Lee when coming off a loss in which they were favored. That applies to the Nets game the other night. And this Knicks team's coming off a really deflating loss against Boston last night, where they kind of went all in hoping for that win. I don't think that they're going to sit guys tonight necessarily, but big minutes for all the starters, including Jalen Brunson, who played 39 minutes. And this team has not handled back-to-backs well over the years, dating back to the 2023-2024 season. So spanning across lost three seasons now. New York is 8-22 against the spread when playing on back-to-back days. I think that this Hornets team can keep this game somewhat close, even in Madison Square Garden, where the Knicks are a much, much better team. Moving on to Nets Bulls, the Bulls are laying 7.5 points in this game. Total's 231.5. This one tips at 8 p.m. Eastern. This Nets team has been a little bit more competitive recently, so the Hornets shouldn't take that loss from last game too hard, but 5-4-1 against the spread for Brooklyn over the last 10. The Bulls come into this one having lost four straight games and 10 of their last 13. This Bulls team is just not what we have seen, from the same team that we saw, to start the season. Like, the Bulls started the year looking like one of the best teams in the Eastern Conference. I don't think that anybody really expected that to kind of continue. Like, it definitely felt a little bit fluky, but this is a team that's in a bad way right now. And the injury report is almost reason enough to back Brooklyn, because you look at the players that are out right now. Kevin Huerter and Coby White will both be out this game. Those are two players with a ton of firepower from behind the three-point line. Isaac Okoro is doubtful. That's a good defender, a good energy player, somebody that is in the rotation. Then questionable players include Jalen Smith, Zach Collins, and Dalen Terry. Those are three guys that can give Billy Donovan minutes on any given night, and Smith has been really good. So if you miss either of those two bigs, you're talking about a weak center rotation behind Nikola Vucevic. I just don't think that the Bulls have enough right now to expect them to win this game by 9+. So I'll take a chance on Brooklyn +8.5 at -115. It's disgusting. Like, you might feel terrible about this right away. It's going to be like eating like drunk McDonald's or something. But I don't know. I just can't really pass off the number. I know this is a play that I believe Jonathan Von Tobel, who will be joining us on tomorrow's podcast, is also on. He mentioned it to me last night, and I just agreed with him. Like, there's too many players in the injury report for the Bulls. We got to go with the Nets here. Next game, one that I'm actually really excited for, and I'm not sure a lot of other people will be, but Pistons at Bucks, 8 p.m. Eastern tip. Pistons laying 4.5, totals 230.5. This is a game where I think that a lot of people are going to jump on the Pistons, because Detroit has been the number one team in the Eastern Conference this year, and there was a lot of nonsense on social media with Giannis yesterday, between him deleting a lot of his social media posts going back to like 2021 or something, and then, some reports from non-trustworthy sources about Giannis potentially, demanding a trade out of Milwaukee. I don't think that I buy that whatsoever. I don't think that we're at that point yet. Like, it could be coming soon. The Bucks did struggle without him, and we saw how bad this team was without him. But I should mention, like, when Giannis is on the floor, this team is not bad. So one of the things that I wanted to talk about with this game is the fact that when the Bucks have Giannis on the floor, they are scoring 125.7 points per 100 possessions, also giving up 116.5 points allowed per 100 in those possessions. So this is a team that is on pace to be the best offense in the league when Giannis is on the floor, and the defense would be around 19th or 20th. If they were, these numbers were holding true over the course of an entire 82-game season. Obviously, that's not the case. Giannis does not play 48 minutes a night, but when he is on the floor, this is a very good offensive basketball team, and I do think that people are kind of forgetting that, and especially in a game like this where you can get Milwaukee +5, you can get Milwaukee +164. I think that there's been a little bit of an overreaction to what we've seen with the Bucks lately, and I think that we're going to see the Bucks cover in this game. So I have +5 at -110. I'm taking it to win 1.5 units. I'm also putting a half a unit on the +164 money line. Obviously, this Detroit team is great. I've talked about them all season. Like, I absolutely love the way that this team defends. I love Cade Cunningham and Jalen Duren. And I mentioned in that column I wrote at VSiN.com, Duren actually has a higher estimated plus minus than Cade Cunningham this year. He has been absolutely phenomenal this year. Like, this is a player that is one of the favorites to win most improved player and probably should be the favorite. And maybe he will go on to win this award if he continues to play like this the rest of the season. But I do think that the Bucks have a decent matchup for him and Miles Turner. I also think that Giannis should be expected to outshine Cade Cunningham whenever those two step on the floor. And I think that the Bucks have a better guard rotation than people think, especially with Ryan Rollins and now Kevin Porter Jr. back in the mix. I think that Porter Jr. is questionable tonight. Don't know for sure that we're going to see him out there, but I just don't think that much separates these two teams, especially in a game in Milwaukee. I think the Bucks should find a way to make this respectable, and I'm not fully out on this team yet. I think there's a chance they turn it around and kind of keep Giannis around. Last game of the night that we're going to talk about is Heat at Mavericks. The Heat are 5.5-point favorites. Totals 241.5. I don't have a play in this game in terms of sides or totals. It's a really tough one to call. Dallas has been a lot better lately. Not, you know, coincidentally, they have Anthony Davis back. Ryan Nemhardt is getting, has come in and given them some really good play at the point guard position. And this is a home game for Dallas, so they should be a little bit better. And this is a great defensive team. So if the offense is a little bit better with the addition of Nemhardt, with Davis back in the mix, this is a team that should be way more competitive moving forward. But I'm not really looking to fade this Heat team right now, not with the way that they're playing. So this is a game where I'm really looking at only player props, and there are two that I'm looking at. Ryan Nemhardt over on assists is one that's like the Spencer Jones play from before. I haven't seen it anywhere except for offshore. Where I saw it offshore was at 4.5, and that would be a smash play on the over for me if it's available in the States. I would also take the over on 5.5. This is a guy that just had 10 assists in that win over the Clippers the other night, and also had 15 potential assists in that game. It's going to be a little bit tougher for him to find, you know, such easy looks against this Heat defense because Miami is an elite defensive team. But at the same time, Miami also plays at the fastest pace in basketball, and that just presents opportunities, whether you're doing it efficiently or not. If the game is up and down, if there's more possessions, you have more, you know, chances to score. And that is good for a player like Nemhardt, who is quick, who, you know, reads the floor really well, gets the ball up quickly. He puts the ball in the hands of the shot makers on the team. I think that if, you know, we see 4.5 or 5.5, I think he goes over that mark. But the play that I do have right now, and I'm not waiting on anything, Cooper Flagg over 16.5 points at -127. You could also take that at over 17.5. It'll be less juiced. I'd rather the lower number. We've had a good couple of days. I could deal with the extra couple of cents losing. I think the Flagg is going to go over this mark, though. I think this is a guy that is really coming to his own as a scorer. I've been mentioning it over the last couple of days. Like, I'm really impressed with the way the mid-range jumper looks. I'm impressed with the way he's getting into those mid-range looks. He just looks so comfortable with his offensive game. It looks like he's really growing as a scorer. Like, this is such a good player on both ends of the floor and such a good teammate, somebody that has, you know, throughout his career been a very good passer, not a player that has hogged the ball at any level. But like, I do think that he's really starting to figure out when it's time to put his foot on the gas as a scorer. And his jumper looks a lot cleaner than I think it's ever looked throughout his career, dating back, you know, to high school and college. So I think this is a player that is going to continue to look great as a scorer. And 16.5 is really low for a player that is averaging 29.5 points per game over the last two contests. And even more importantly to me is the fact he's taken 41 shots over the last two games. Like, you can't expect him to go out and score 30 every night. He is a rookie still. Like, it's just not going to happen. But taking more shots is going to be big for him because this team wants to see Flagg aggressive. They want to see him, you know, get better as a scorer as the season progresses. And taking 12, 13 shots, that's not going to be good enough. They need him to take 15 plus every single night. And the fact that he's taking closer to 20 over the last two games, and they've been seeing good success with it, winning games, being more competitive in games, hopefully that leads to another game where he is aggressive as a scorer. Time to put your hoops IQ to the test with Better Picks. Download the Better app and pick more or less on player stats like points, assists, and rebounds. Then track your lineup in real time. Use code VSIMPOD to get $10 free, no deposit required. And with up to 1,000 times multipliers off just two picks, your hot takes can really pay off. Better Picks is live in 33 states. Download Better and use code VSIMPOD today. That's VSINPOD. Great product. Definitely head over to Better, especially if you like player props and some of the stuff you're hearing on this show. Let's recap the best bets for today. Like I mentioned, there's a lot of them, and I do think I'm going to have more on the website. I always look back, you know, at around 2 or 3 o'clock my time, look to see if I can add some player props, and I'll be looking earlier than that because, like I mentioned, there are the Spencer Jones plays, there's the Ryan Nemhardt plays. Like, I want to see if I can find numbers on those on, you know, the widely available books. I don't want to be looking offshore for my player props. So it starts with a parlay, Orlando Magic money line against the San Antonio Spurs, and then the Atlanta Hawks on an alternate spread of +7.5 against the Los Angeles Clippers. That's -161. I'm going to be taking that to win 1.5 units. That is a play that I know it's juicy. I mentioned it before, but I do think that you're actually getting quite a good price when thinking about how likely it is that the Magic win on their home floor and that the Hawks don't get blown out on their own as well. Hornets +9 at -108 versus the Knicks is the next one. Then I have the Nets +8.5 at -115 versus the Bulls. I have the Bucks +5 -110, playing that to win 1.5 units against the Pistons. Also have the Bucks money line risking 0.5 units at +164. And then the last play that I have for tonight, last official play, Cooper Flagg over 16.5 points at -127 against the Heat. Like I said, though, if you are a VSiN Pro subscriber, head over to the website. There will be more from me. You'll see my sides and totals column. You'll see my player props column. You'll also see that the Eastern Conference, you know, big picture, you know, feature that I did yesterday. If you are interested in that, I strongly suggest taking it out, because I do think that there's so much kind of juice left to be squeezed with this Eastern Conference. I don't think that we've seen, you know, what's going to play out yet. I think that there are some teams making improvements, some teams due to fall off, and I just think that a lot is going to change over the next couple of months. So head over there, see how I'm thinking, you know, the Eastern Conference is going to play out. And then, yeah, join us tomorrow. I'm hoping to have Jonathan Von Tobel on again. I will check with him right after this, but he's supposed to join us every Thursday. I expect him to join us. It will be a good episode as long as JVT is on. I love bantering about the NBA with him. But, yeah, good luck with your plays tonight, and make sure you join us for a Thursday edition of Hardwood Handicappers.